Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm James Tenbrook. I represent the petitioner, Olita Wood. This was a matter of denial of a continuance when the petitioner had filed a, on its face, had a bona fide marriage with a U.S. citizen. When she was in immigration court for the second time, the court denied the continuance.
Now, what did you mean in your reply brief when you said she might be subject to a bar of 3 or 10 years?
Right.
Why 10 years? I thought that was for deportation, and that the whole point of voluntary departure was to allow you to apply for a visa earlier than that.
Well, I think voluntary departure was a concept I think it's been around for a while. But recently, and I think it was in 96 or 97, Congress imposed penalties for unlawful presence. Now, in light of the penalties for unlawful presence, voluntary departure means very little. Because at least in this instance, you could see that if she was supposed to leave the country, she was supposed to leave the country in 2000 or 2001. If you have over 1 year of unlawful presence, you are barred from returning to the country for 10 years. So I believe my reading of the statute is that she would be very clearly barred from returning, even though she had voluntary departure.
Then why did you say either 3 or 10 years? Now you're saying it's 10 years.
Oh, I guess what I was... That I must have misspoke, because it should be 10 years. I was just reiterating the statute there.
Because she overstayed for 1 year. Is that
right?
Your point?
Although, actually, now not to throw another wrench in this, but I think there's an issue in this case as to whether or not she and her former husband filed the asylum application in time. If they filed it in time, then perhaps only the 3-year bar would apply. If it's considered that she did not, then the 10-year bar would apply. But that's an issue for another day with respect to that asylum application.
I thought the asylum claim had been considered on the merits and was rejected. That didn't happen?
No, that was... Right. With respect to the former husband, he never showed up. He got an order in absentia with respect to her. Yeah, it never went forward.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So it was dismissed? Or just dropped?
I think dropped sounds more like it, yeah.
Okay.
Well, because she thought she had she thought she had a better claim based on her marriage to a U.S. citizen. So I think, right, it was dropped. Now, my reading of the law on whether or not someone in the petitioner's position should be entitled to continuance is that she should have it because the judge should allow these types of applications to go forward and not use a denial of a continuance as a way to get around the statute, allowing her to do so.
Punishing her for what he thought was her either disingenuous or dishonest testimony when she appeared with the first husband.
Right, and that's my next point on whether or not, you know, the judge denied it because he thought that she had misled him. Now, it's my contention that it's pretty clear that she did not mislead. Evidently, she did not disclose, but she did not mislead. She was never asked, neither she nor her former husband were asked in that first hearing, remember there was two hearings, were asked in the first hearing whether or not they were still living together or whether or not they were divorced or anything as to their relationship. There
was
no question.
It was a joint petition, the basis for which had been removed by the granting of the divorce in Lithuania.
Right. I understand
that. So it's a sin of omission.
I could, as lawyers and judges, that would be the
approach. If people appear as a married couple, you don't ask them, are you really married or are you divorced, right? be a little odd.
Yes, that's true. But the point is, this was her first hearing. She did not have counsel. There was the question, obviously, is whether she had a duty to disclose. And the point is, she couldn't have had a duty to disclose because a person in her position cannot be reasonably expected to disclose that if they're unrepresented by counsel and do not know the ramifications of what they may say. English was not her first language. And I think essentially the judge got upset that he granted such a long continuance here, is what it comes down to. So there was no... technically speaking, there might have been an omission, but there was no duty to disclose. I'm going to save the rest of my time for...
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kittenbrook. Mr. Mack?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Greg Mack, counsel for the respondent, the Attorney General of the United States. Petitioner in this case seeks review of an unreviewable exercise of discretion by the board.
What is your conception of when she can apply for a visa, come back to the United States?
I believe she can apply when she gets back to Lithuania if the court sustains the order of removal. There is, in fact, a 10-year bar. If somebody's been ordered removed from the United States, they are inadmissible for 10 years, but they can apply for a waiver of that bar. So if the order is sustained and she's removed to Lithuania, we believe that the petitioner can apply for a waiver of that inadmissibility period of 10 years. But at bottom, this case is about the board's exercise of discretion on the ultimate question of adjustment of status. And as this court is aware, under the INA, the court cannot review a discretionary determination of the board.
Well, what's odd about this, the denial of continuance was, in effect, a denial of adjustment as a penalty for the immigration judge's belief that Wood, as she now is, was lying to him. Doesn't that... That's what the case is really.
Not exactly, Your Honor. The motion to continue was before the immigration judge, and at that time they did not have, if I understand the record correctly, they did not have an approved visa petition. Without an approved visa petition, they're not eligible for adjustment.
We've been through this before. One way to deny an adjustment is to deny a continuance, because the adjustments take so long and they're processed in a different part of DHS. So didn't he know when he was denying the continuance, when he got angry with her about the divorce, he must have known he was denying adjustment and sentencing her to, 10 years in Lithuania, in effect. So there's a question in my mind whether... Well, I couldn't tell from the immigration judge's opinion whether he realized that she would be barred from returning for such a long period of time.
He may not have, but what he had before him at that time was a motion to continue, not the ultimate question on adjustment of status. And certainly there's also the matter of the Velarde case out there with respect to...
Doesn't he have to, when you're deciding on whether to grant a continuance, don't you have to consider the consequences?
Well, a matter of continuance is a matter of grace. It is within the immigration judge's discretion whether to grant it or not. And in this case...
It's subject to review for abuse of discretion. And suppose he thought he was just slapping her on the wrist because she'd go back to Lithuania, but she could come back the next day to the United States, and she is married to an American citizen. Suppose he thought that, but in fact she faces a 10-year bar that he didn't realize. Wouldn't that suggest that he hadn't exercise an informed discretion?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because the immigration judge refers to the fact that, look, I may not grant your continuance here, but you can go back to your home country.
But it's a big difference whether you go back to your home country and then you get a visa and come right back, or whether you go back for 10 years when you have a husband in Indiana, right? So it's extremely awkward.
It's not awkward. It's what the Congress contemplated in terms of...
Yeah, but does the immigration judge know that?
I think
you said you don't know whether he knows it, which seems consistent with his opinion.
Well, the immigration judge certainly doesn't refer to the 10-year bar, but he does refer to the fact that, look, I'm not going to grant your continuance, but you can go back to your home country and try to apply through that measure. And
yes, but it makes a big difference whether he says you can go back to your home country and ask for a visa, or go back to the home country while the adjustment procedure is being completed, and then you can come back, you know, a matter of months or something. It's another thing to think, I'm sending you back to Lithuania for 10 years because you were, you know, uncandid with me. That's he could do that, I suppose, but he didn't. I don't think he knew that that's what he was doing.
But the immigration judge contemplated the possibility that she could adjust through back in her home country. And the 10-year bar is not mentioned by the immigration judge with respect to the denial of the motion to continue. But even if the motion to continue was before the court, it's a very high standard of review in terms of abuse of discretion. And in this record, the immigration judge concluded that he was misled with respect to the affirmative misrepresentation that they were marital partners before him. That was certainly within his realm.
Isn't there force to what Mr. Ten Broek says? You have a foreigner appears in front of an immigration judge, you know, very hurried proceedings and so on. And what does she know what to say, what you're expected to say? And
well,
I don't know. Has no lawyer. Doesn't know what's going on, probably.
Well, so, you don't need a lawyer to be candid, Your Honor. And the immigration judge knows.
Of course, because if you're candid without a lawyer, you can get yourself into all sorts of terrible trouble.
Well, this is a removal proceeding, Your Honor. It's not a criminal proceeding. It is a question about whether you should be removed.
Removed, and, you know, and you're get 10 years in Lithuania.
Well, let's step back a moment, Your Honor. Adjustment of status simply says you can adjust your status within the United States. The alternative is to adjust your status overseas. And
but there's a difference between but apparently she can adjust her status all she wants, but she can't come back for 10 years unless she gets a waiver. We don't know anything about the criteria for these waivers.
Well, that's within the...
It hasn't been mentioned before.
No, it hasn't. That's within the government's discretion whether to actually grant that waiver. But let me also note that the motion continue is subsumed by the ultimate resolution of the exercise of discretion by the board. And after all, a motion to remand is sent to the board with respect to this ultimate question after the approved visa takes place. So I would say the motion to remand and the consideration by the board cures any problem with the motion to continue, and the board has the ultimate question before it. Because there's an approved visa before the board, there's nothing to go back to the immigration judge in terms of the continuance. The board has the ultimate question before it, and in this record, the board said, as a matter of discretion, we are not going to grant this adjustment of status and affirms the order of removal.
And the board has the authority to make that determination without sending it back?
It does have that authority, de novo authority, to make questions, resolve questions with respect to law and judgment and the exercise of discretion under its regulation, 8 CFR.
Well, that's de novo review.
It is de novo.
An appellate body.
And it has that regulatory authority under a regulation passed in 2002 at 8 CFR 1003.1D.
Which says what?
Which says the immigration judges have authority over the facts, and the board will review those facts for clearly erroneous findings. With respect to exercise of discretion, judgment, and law, it has de novo authority for exactly these sorts.
Well, de novo review as an appellate body.
Well, no, as a plenary body, okay. Your Honor. As a plenary body.
Is that what the regulation says?
It doesn't say plenary, but it says de novo review with respect to exercises of discretion, judgment, and law.
But de novo review with respect to exercises of discretion and although as a matter of practicality, as Judge Posner has pointed out, the denial of the continuance operated as a denial of adjustment of status. There was no exercise of discretion for the board to review. It made the ultimate determination.
It made the ultimate discretion. I would dispute that the denial of the motion to continue is the ultimate denial of adjustment of status. Until there's an approved visa petition, there cannot be an adjustment of status. The approved visa petition makes the alien eligible for adjustment of status. Until there's an eligibility with respect to adjustment of status, there's nothing to deny in that regard. It's an inference, if you will, to say that the motion to continue is an ultimate denial the motion to adjust the question on adjustment of status.
If what we're reviewing is the denial of a motion to continue, there is the matter of jurisdiction. And I noted in that section of your brief you had a footnote in which you declined to assert the jurisdictional bar. And I had that same footnote a week or two ago from a colleague of yours, and I questioned it because it seemed odd to me that you would decline to assert a jurisdictional bar. And I was told that the department now has a new position on motions to continue and whether they fall within the jurisdiction stripping provision in the statute. And that the department's new position is that they do not, because motions to continue are regulatory, and the authority, the discretionary authority for that is in the regulations, not in the statute, and that the jurisdiction stripping statute applies only to discretion conferred by statute. Are you familiar with the department's
position? With the new position and with the change, and that's why the footnote is in my brief as well, and that there's the distinction between the ultimate question on discretion and the continuance here.
And well, right, but your brief did not put forward the department's new position, and maybe because it was filed before that position was finalized.
I think it was in flux at the time I was filing my brief, and it hadn't actually settled on the ultimate policy, but I was aware that there was this distinction between asserting the bar on jurisdiction on the ultimate question of discretion versus the motion continue.
Okay, so you will reaffirm for us on the record that it is your position and the department's position that motions to continue are reviewable and that they do not fall within the jurisdiction stripping statute.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
That would be our position. But ultimately our position in this case is that the question was resolved on the ultimate question of adjustment of status, and I see my time has expired. Thank you,
okay,
Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Mack. And Mr. Tenbrook, how much time does he have? 4 minutes? 5 minutes?
I'll be brief. I would like to address, again, some thoughts I've had on whether the petitioner misled the immigration judge. I think that the question really is maybe not so much she'd had no duty, but when does that duty arise to disclose something? And I think the only way I can explain that is by setting forth certain circumstances, which I think I have in my reply brief. I think that in an instance where somebody perhaps showed up to court with a lawyer, then I think that there would be some sort of duty to disclose. If I think somebody showed up to court a number of times, perhaps, month after month, without saying something, then I could say in that instance there would be a duty to disclose something of this nature. But here it was one appearance without a lawyer. She was granted
if the board decides, as it did, to deny adjustment of status, and that's unreviewable, then doesn't that moot your challenge to the denial of a continuance?
It would, but they improperly did so, because what they read the regulation to say they can decide what was decided, or they can decide and consider what was decided and below and what could have been decided. And that's what they tried to do. But here, the immigration judge never got to the actual adjustment application. He didn't say, okay, you're eligible for it, and I deny it. He just said, I'm not going to let you even...
I understand that, but are you saying the board was acting beyond its jurisdiction when it addressed the denial of adjustment?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think I addressed that in my opening brief. And with respect to the bar and the petitioner being eligible for a waiver, the standards there it's extraordinary and unusual hardship. So, and I hear that they're rarely granted. So for the government to suggest that she can leave the country and request a waiver would be akin to just denying the relief altogether. Unless this court has any other questions, I think I'm finished.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Tenbrook and Mr. Mack. And the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.